For brands in the digital age, content is the customer experience. That's why industry leaders like KFC, MailChimp, and BMW rely on the Contentful Composable Content Platform to easily create, collaborate, manage, and deliver content across all channels, resulting in meaningful customer experiences and significant business results. Ready to maximize your content's potential? Get started at Contentful.com. Contentful, where content drives business momentum.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, February 20th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Today's show is all about kids and tech, how it could work better, and where it might be falling short. First up, after tech leaders faced blistering criticism during a congressional hearing last month, many parents are again thinking about how to keep their kids safe on social media. Are parental controls enough? WSJ family and tech columnist Julie Jargon joins us to talk about how parental controls are changing and what parents can do to make them more effective. And then, education nonprofit Khan Academy has created a bot intended to help kids with their schoolwork. But what happens when the bot gets things wrong? We'll hear about the tool and its implications from WSJ education reporter Matt Barnum. But first, parental controls on social media are not one size fits all. It can be complicated for parents to protect their children from content that they might find damaging or upsetting. So what are social media companies doing about it, and what can parents do to help? WSJ family and tech columnist Julie Jargon is here to walk us through the options. Julie, you've been writing about parental controls on social media for a while. What do they protect against?
Parental controls within the social media apps are intended to protect against having teens spend too much time on the apps. And also, there's some other more granular controls that have to do with blocking certain people, setting your account to private, to protect against people being reached out to by strangers. And then there are also controls that are meant to really get into the weeds. Like on Instagram, for example, you can go in and choose specific keywords or phrases that you want to block so that you don't see videos or posts that contain certain words that might be triggering for someone. For example, things that might be problematic for someone struggling with an eating disorder.
Okay, so it's supposed to protect the youngest users on these apps. Do parental controls within the apps accomplish what they're intended to do?
On their face, technically, they could accomplish some of those things. But the problem is that they're difficult to figure out. They're different on each social media app, and you kind of have to hunt for them within the settings. It's not always really clear exactly what to do. You have to go in and enable various settings. There's not just one button that says protect my kids, which would be the easiest thing to do. However, some of the social media companies have been recently starting to move in this direction where they are providing some automatic protections by default.
There have been multiple congressional hearings over the last year, most recently the grilling of tech CEOs last month. How might these hearings impact platforms like Meta?
Outside of the hearings themselves, there are a lot of lawsuits going on, parents suing social media companies for harms that their children have suffered, state attorneys general suing the companies for not protecting children. The hearings have put a public spotlight on some of these issues. And in the days leading up to the hearings, Meta, for example, rolled out some additional changes to protect kids. And they announced that they are going to protect teen accounts by default from receiving videos and other content that contains things like eating disorder content, graphic violence, self-harm type of content.
What are some other things that social media companies are doing to potentially protect kids?
There are legislative things that are being done. Several states have either proposed or passed laws requiring social media companies to verify users' ages and obtain parental permission to create accounts. But there are a lot of sticking points with that in terms of how do you do that without raising privacy concerns from the young people that are on your platform. But it's obviously a shared responsibility between the tech companies and parents, as it always has been. But it's become clear recently that both parties play a role here. And a lot of experts that I've talked to have said that when you involve your teens in these discussions, rather than just being the parent that enables all these controls, when you involve your teenager in the discussions and sit down together and talk about, okay, what are the safety settings we can enable here to make sure you have a good experience on this app, that tends to go over better with teens. They tend to be less sneaky and turn off the settings or create additional accounts their parents don't know about.
That was our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon. Coming up, what happens when an AI tool meant to help kids with their math homework gets stumped? That's after the break.
NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system, is everything you need to grow all in one place. Financials, inventory, HR, and more. Make better decisions faster so you can do more and spend less. See how at netsuite.com/minute. That's netsuite.com/minute.
For almost a year, education nonprofit Khan Academy has been running a pilot of its KhanMigo education chatbot. The bot's goal is to be a tutor in a variety of subjects for students in grades 3 and up. Next year, Khan Academy hopes to bring the software to up to 2 million students, with schools paying $35 a head. But as WSJ education reporter Matt Barnum found, so far the bot isn't perfect. He joins me now with more. Matt, how does KhanMigo work?
It's basically a version of ChatGPT, but designed for schools and students. So if you're a student struggling on a subject and you need help, you can open up KhanMigo and ask it for help, like someone might open up ChatGPT and ask it for help finding answers to problems. But there's a big difference. KhanMigo will not just give you the answer. If you say, tell me the answer to this problem of solving a right triangle, KhanMigo is going to try to help you through it. It's not just going to give you the solution. It's powered by ChatGPT, and Khan Academy is also wrapping its own changes into it to make it effective for students and teachers, including telling it not to just give the right answers.
How is KhanMigo being used now?
Right now, it's being piloted in some 44 school districts with about 65,000 students who have access to it, according to Khan Academy. And Saul Khan, the leader of Khan Academy, says he wants to spread that even further next school year. And he's envisioning 1 to 2 million students having access to KhanMigo next school year.
Preliminarily, during this pilot, what have teachers said about using the bot?
I've talked to a handful, and I've heard mixed reviews, but also a lot of positives from teachers saying it's helpful in domains like planning lessons or creating rubrics. But also I've heard from some teachers of some drawbacks to it and some limitations and some things that it can't do.
Right. Let's get into that a little bit, because you got to test out this bot. What kinds of questions did you ask it and how did it go?
I was really interested in testing it in math because that is a very important subject in school, as we all know. And I had also heard that large language model AI programs really struggle with math. So I acted as if I was a student and I asked it for help solving a right triangle, as if I had two sides of a right triangle and needed to find the third side. It introduced me correctly to the Pythagorean theorem and walked me through steps to finding the third side. It also didn't just give me the answer, as ChatGPT might, but where it really struggled was in basic math operations. So if I gave it the wrong answer to a pretty simple problem like 27 squared minus 17 squared, it sometimes told me, great job, you got that right, even though that was not right. Or in another case, I told it the right answer to 15 squared minus 9 squared, and it thought I was wrong. And at the time, I was like, oh, did I mess this up? And no, I had it right, and KhanMigo had it wrong.
Were those results surprising to you?
Yes and no. I was a little surprised because this is being used with some number of students right now. But also, I wasn't totally surprised because Khan Academy is very clear that right now, it's a pilot. It's a work in progress. It even has a disclaimer at the top that said sometimes KhanMigo is wrong.
What did Khan Academy say about this?
They acknowledged that this is a challenge, and they said that they are working furiously to get it better. They also did say very clearly they're not expecting it to be 100% correct for the foreseeable future. And of course, a teacher is not 100% correct. A textbook is not even 100% correct, but they're working to make it better. And they're also working to educate teachers and students that it's not perfect.
Okay. If millions of students are using a tutoring bot that leads them to the wrong answer, what could the impact be? Like, is this ready for real-world deployment?
That's an open question, and we would want to study it in a very systematic way and think about the benefits and risks. And Saul Khan mentioned to me that they have internal data suggesting that this boosts student engagement.
What should parents keep in mind if their kids are interacting with bots like KhanMiko?
I would ask the teacher how the bot is being used, and I would ask the teacher what they've been told about the accuracy of KhanMiko, and I would look at my child interacting with it and see how that's going. I would also suggest to my child the bot may be better for explaining concepts, but it may not be a very good calculator. So if it produces an answer that seems wrong based on your calculations using a calculator or other means, you maybe shouldn't trust it on that front.
That was our education reporter, Matt Barnum. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, with supervising producer Catherine Millsop and deputy editor Scott Salloway. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.